I swear these other podcasts are just a waste of time. I'm skipping through them, I'd rather listen and change my mind. Wes and Nick always help me through my daily grind. Your favorite guys, your favorite lines, change my mind. I swear these other podcasts are just a waste of time. I'm skipping through them, I'd rather listen and change my mind. Wes and Nick always help me through my daily grind. Your favorite guys, your favorite lines, change my mind.
Yeah. And welcome back to another edition of the Change My Mind podcast.
I won't change my mind because I don't have to, because I'm an American.
Yes, you are. And I'm Wesley Sykes. And through the other side of the ether is the Edward Cullen to my Eric Northman. It's Mr. Nicholas J. Eskfryer, sexy vampire for hire.
Wow. You. Okay. All right. I see how it is. Now I get you a good workout routine, and now you're Eric and I'm Edward Cullen.
Oh,
okay.
I just threw them out there. I thought they were all very, very sexy. You know,
they are handsome. They are.
Would you not want to be a Battinson?
No. Either form of Battinson, I'm definitely down with. But Eric Northman is like the, I would say, that'd be a good episode. I don't know if it'd be for us to do, but like the hottest like vampires or the best sexist vampires.
Well, right. You know, I don't want to jump the shark too soon here, but that will come up in the not so distant future. Ooh. Because this week, as we officially enter hashtag spooky season,
what's your favorite scary movie?
Yes, that is hashtag spooky season. We are reviewing 30 Days of Night, starring Josh Hartnett and Melissa George. Can't forget Melissa George. She's can't miss must-see TV in 30 Days of Night. But before all that, Nick, you took the question almost out of my mouth. Who is your favorite vampire? Maybe I can do a quick edit of this, but who's your favorite sexiest vampire?
I should have. I do this all the friggin' time. Like, I check over, Wes will make the whole doc up. I double check in case I need to add anything to the news, which was the case today. But I always check the intro question last. And I would probably say my favorite vampire is, I mean, off the top of my head, it's probably Eric Northman. That's definitely the first guy I think of. The way he's introduced in True Blood is so badass. Mm-hmm. My only real qualm with the character as time goes along is that he's got like serious flow. It's like perfect. And then they ended up cutting it over the course of the series. And it's like Jax Teller when he cut his hair in Sons of Anarchy. I just don't get it.
Or like Samson, maybe all of his power is derived from his hair.
That'd be an interesting thing to track in the course of that show too. Cause they do it way too early with Eric Northman, especially, but do you have a favorite?
What comes to mind is maybe not sexiest vampire, but my favorite vampire would be, I'm blanking on his name, but he's the energy vampire from, What We Do in the Shadows. Mm-hmm. Just what a brilliant concept that is. That just tickles me pink every time.
Yeah. That is a good call. Another good vampire is it Brad Pitt that plays the character in Interview with the Vampire? Mm. Yeah,
and Tom Cruise are both vampires, right?
Yeah, but Tom Cruise.
I never saw that movie though. I haven't seen.
Oh, it's a good one. It's very well done. I think they're doing like a show, reboot or something like that.
A podcast where they just interview vampires.
Yeah, that's
exactly. They open up about their life a little bit. Yeah,
that's exactly like what
Oprah Winfrey style special.
Yeah, exactly. But Tom Cruise is outstanding. Like he, I cannot remember. So
is it Kirsten Dunst who's in that movie as like a wee preteen?
Yeah,
a
wee teen? She's nuts in that. Yeah, and Colin Robinson is who you were thinking of for the energy vampire.
Oh yes, yeah. Colin, yes. So shout out to him. And then other vampire, I don't know, maybe Stephen Dorff in Blade.
Oh, Blade.
Stephen Dorff doesn't get enough love on this, but is he a vampire?
Blade's a daywalker, half-breed, so no.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure how that flies. I'm not sure about, you know, all the semantics of that, but
I think that's a fair point. Yeah. And then what about James Marsden's character, Spike, in Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Mm-hmm.
And your favorite, how could you forget your favorite, Morbius? You love that movie.
This big Morbius guy. Big Morbius guy. Still What We Do in the Shadows. Colin Robinson. I think he's got it.
Okay. All right. I guess I'll let that slide.
But maybe something else will come to mind here. We'll see.
Quite a few good ones in here. I just found a screaming list. Oh, the Salvators in the Vampire Diaries. Of course, I watched that. Everybody knows that. Yep. And then Underworld.
Is that the Impaler? Maybe the original one.
Oh, yeah. The OG. Who could forget? What was
The Count from Sesame Street?
I'll tell you what.
One. Two.
That's you win. There's no question. But Kate Beckinsale in Underworld.
Okay. Different. We're kind of looking at different angles here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got the Sesame Street Muppet, and you got a smoke show of a vampire.
Guess which one of us is the father here?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. That's what's on my mind right now. That's what's running through it. All right. Yeah. That's good. That's good vampire talk. We'll pick it up in a little bit here. But let's shift over to trending now.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Found this all over the news, fresh off the presses, some might say. Actually, no, this might be last week. We're picking up a story from last week, which we were ahead on. We thought this was going to be happening. Nick kind of gave you the breakdown of it, but the writer's strike has officially come to an end. Give us all the deets, Nick. Tell us what we need to know here.
So it looks like it lasted 146 days. Did it feel like it lasted longer than, not even a half year, I guess, technically?
Yeah, it did kind of feel longer because of how much it's in your, like, more so than other strikes. You know, they have the power of the media, kind of like they are the media in a lot of ways, you know. Mm-hmm. So you would see it all the time.
Yeah, it did. And I mean, we touched upon it every single week. I guess the only other ones that are comparable are like the sports ones. But even then, baseball was the last one, right? In 2020, like, or was it 2020? But either way, anyways, I don't remember the last writer strike, but I don't think I cared at the last time that they had it. So some details, there's a lot, and you guys can find it online. Like there's like a good summary of it, but all that, you know, I wanted to highlight, the minimums have been increased for writers, so that's a big win. They've improved the terms on the high budget subscription videos on demand. So basically Netflix, Prime, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They've got increased foreign streaming residuals, viewership based streaming bonuses. So they're basically getting the things they want on that. And that's what we kind of speculated. Like you brought that up. You saw, mm-hmm. I don't know where online you saw that theory.
I forget where. It's somewhere on Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is so. Like I was concerned when you brought it up because it seemed very valid. Mm-hmm. Now, if they're getting that, one would assume that they're not just promising these things, and it's like this will never happen. This isn't the thing.
Yeah, it's not a shell game so much, right? They're just keep trying to move the money away from the shareholders and then the workers, right? But now we'll see. Get a little more transparency. That's always a good thing. That's what we strive for in the Change My Mind podcast.
I will say it's a little annoying. So it's good. This is good. But it's annoying now to know we're seeing all these streaming changes. Like we're seeing like Disney's really, it seems like they're going to make that push for the mm-hmm. password stuff in November. So it's like,
really?
I keep seeing that everywhere.
Netflix has said that for how long? And that still hasn't happened yet, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But it, I mean, it makes sense that something, what is it you always say, Wes, speak softly and carry a big stick. That's what Disney's doing right here.
I didn't say that's Teddy Roosevelt, but I do like to quote the great Teddy.
He's your guy. So, but either way, you Teddy Roosevelt, basically the same. That's why I got you too confused. But
yeah, we're similar.
So that's a huge win. But again, looking at it from the subscription lens, it's like, okay, well, if you guys are doing well, that you can go and increase this stuff for the writers. It's like, did you need to do this in the first place? Maybe this is why they're doing it. Which, if that's the case, it bothers me a little less. Either way, this is good for the writers. Very happy for them. And then they got a ton of protection when it comes to the AI stuff.
And this is big. This is what you were most zeroed in on, I think.
Yeah, they can't AI can't write or rewrite literary material. Otherwise, it's like all AI generated material can't be used to undermine a writer's credit or separated rights. Writers can use AI if they want to. I don't necessarily
hold up here.
Yeah.
On the surface, this sounds hypocritical.
A writer can choose to use AI when performing writing services if the company consents and provides that the writer follows applicable company policies, but the company can't require the writer to use AI software when performing writing services. So
that's a big win for the WGA because that's a huge hypocrisy right there.
Yes, it is. I look at it as I don't the people who are actually writers, like who are doing it now, I trust that by and large, they're not going to do that shit. Are there some who will? Probably. What I'm a little more annoyed about is like people coming up and stuff like that. Will they try and start using it more to separate themselves and make them better writers or whatever? I don't necessarily love that, but at the same time, I trust the corporations less. So at least they're not the ones that are doing it. And there's a couple other protections that they got. But again, like they did their job. They got what they wanted. Those are the two biggest nuggets I remember. And there's even more that we're not highlighting here.
Now, I'm not sure if I can move past it because one of the shows I regularly fall asleep to is 30 Rock. So it's the main setting is that writer's room, right? And it's got the guy with the hat who has all the different phrases on there. He's a stand-up comedian, Judah Friedlander, I want to say his name is. But anyway, they're all very lazy individuals who don't want to actually work. They're kind of like looking for ways to get out of writing sketches. But now you're in a union. You can't be fired like that easily. So then you, in theory, could be doing nothing and then just use AI to make your scripts to come better. Who's going to call, before the company actually catches on, it's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I will say, see, now this is where I'm like, I wonder if this kind of ties things up. So before when I said that AI can't write or rewrite literary materials, that's like protecting the writers from having AI take their jobs. But this note also says, and AI generated material will not be considered source material under the MBA, which is like Memorandum of Agreement. That's the whole like deal. So that kind of leads me to think that you can't just go and use it like what we're talking about here. It does sound weird, the first note that I brought up.
Yeah.
Do you agree? Like that makes it sound like, yeah, they can't just do what you're talking about and be lazy asses?
I don't know. You know, I feel like rules are meant to be figured out. So I'm sure this will be amended.
Yeah.
Maybe in the next time there's going to be people who figure out workarounds, ways to go under the fence, over the fence, around the fence, whatever it may be. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
I'm not sure. I'm not saying that's the majority, but I'm sure there's always you need people to hack into your software so you know where the weak points are, then you can patch them up later.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is true. I don't I don't love. There's no question about it. But it's I don't know. Either way, the writers are at least protected, which is what I cared about most.
What I care about most is us, the people, because now we get back to, instead of just reruns of Yellowstone or taking stuff from streaming services and putting them on your main channels, your network television channels, we can actually go back to getting new episodes of Bob Loves Abishola or something like that, you know?
What the hell is that?
That's a CBS show.
I thought you were saying according to Jim.
Well, according to Jim, that's also applicable as well. I was trying to work in a new sitcom. I think it's still on air.
Oh, I've legitimately never heard of that.
It's the fat guy from Mike and Molly. It's a CBS show. And if you watch enough CBS football, you'll probably see a commercial for it at some point or another.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay. Wait, how often? So that's the only reason why. It's because of the commercials. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Understood. I was confused for a second there. Anyways, what else you got?
Let's see.
Damn, son. Where'd you find this?
Via Deadline and all over the interwebs here, Marvel announces production for their live-action X-Men movie. Give me a prediction here. What comes out first, the live-action X-Men Marvel movie or the X-Men 97 reboot?
Oh, come on. There's no chance. It's got the X-Men 97 reboot's going to be coming out.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. Who knows?
I will say, well, that's going to be a different timeline and everything, so it shouldn't run into any issues with the Deadpool stuff. But that, I wonder if that has to do with any of it. Like, do they want to do – I don't remember what – we don't have a release date for 97, right?
No, I think it keeps getting pushed back a year.
I wonder if it's pushed back behind Deadpool, so that way Deadpool can have its thing, and then 97 will capitalize on the want and the need for more X-Men stuff. That's probably what it is.
Maybe. I just think those two things are so separate that they're not really big drivers of one another.
They're not
one's like an animated TV show that's kind of niche, right? It's like kind of, but I'm not sure if there's any sort of interconnection. I don't think it's going to be like a what if situation, or maybe it could. What if it is? I don't know. What do I know?
What if it is? I think that's got to be what it is. The only, other than the writer's strike, that is the only logical explanation that I can see. And also, we're talking about the writer's strike being done, but isn't SAG still on strike?
That I don't know. You are our official strike correspondent. You're going to be the man on the street on the picket lines there. Getting all the information.
Yeah, I think, the SAG-AFTRA strike is still ongoing. Yeah, okay, talks set to resume in actor strike. Yep.
But this is just production. They get a script together, and then once that ends, once you get all these juicy roles coming back, see, the SAG union is getting it together because they're like, wait, there's nothing coming out right now because there's no right. There's nothing's been written. So let's stay on strike so we all don't have to work. And then we get this big backload of work to come up with once the writers go back to work.
Mm-hmm. There's there's the people, the working actors who were making like pennies for their hit shows doing well in streaming shows.
Oh, they've been turning tricks months ago, Nick. Let me tell you, their careers are long gone.
Oh yeah. Oh jeez. Okay. They are probably long on. That is a fair point. But yeah,
they
anyways.
Are in a coffee shop in Menlo Park, California, somewhere. Or let's see, what else are they doing? Maybe a bartender in the San Diego area.
Hmm. Okay, you
know, that's just my guess.
I've never heard of Menlo Park before, so I learned.
I don't know. That just came to mind here.
It's an actual place, right? You didn't make that up.
I think it is an actual place. Yeah.
Hmm, interesting. I'm not going to fact check you on it. Well, never let fact
someone at home fact check me.
Nope. Never let facts get away with a good story.
That's you true. Journalism that. Rule 107.
Damn, son. Where'd you find this?
Found this on Amazon. I have Gen Z written down, but it's Gen V, the spinoff show for The Boys, premiered on Amazon this past Friday. I have not watched it yet. Nick, you wrote down that you also did not watch it yet, but Google Reviews gives us a 2.9 out of 5 stars so far.
Ooh.
Rotten Tomatoes gives it a 96%. IMDb gives it an 8.1 out of 10. So that feels more on the higher end than 2.9 out of 5. And some quick reviews, some quick headlines. LA Times, Gen V, the irreverent spinoff of The Boys, flies on its own.
Okay,
The student newspaper from the University of Illinois, the Daily Illini, says the boy spinoff Gen V starts super strong.
Why are you bringing them up? What do we care about?
Because when I type in the boys Gen V reviews, the top stories portion of it goes LA Times, the Daily Illini, the Hindu.
Well, if you're gonna keep
those are the top three options that it gives me.
If you're gonna keep mispronouncing it, then I'm totally fine with that. You can keep it because otherwise it's an insult. But I will say, Mac.
What am I mispronouncing?
You said, how do you say it? The Daily Illini. What? No, you said it right. I'm sorry, I misheard you. I'm an idiot. You know, I just don't like them. You know what I mean? Because they're like kind of a rival.
Oh, I see.
I know.
Props
Mac
to their SEO specialist. Because they're right up there with the LA Times, apparently.
That's a very good point. And they're definitely not. Well, I don't want to go too far in the actual insults. But anyways, I know Mac tweeted out that the opening was pretty impactful from Gen V. So, I'm going to give this a look for sure.
In a similar vein, maybe, you know, because that's kind of what The Boys has done, real kind of come out and really punch you in the mouth to start a season. So,
yeah.
All right. This is on my list of things to watch. But also this week.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
We're adding Loki Season 2, which premieres, of course, on Disney Plus October 5th. That's something else that we have to add to our repertoire, our cue sheet here.
Yeah.
But it's alleged, I say here, runtimes have been leaked by a Twitter user, at Cryptic4KQual, is, according to his own Twitter bio, the number one source for 4K content and runtime info. So I feel strong to quite strong about these.
Okay, strong.
These are only 4 episodes. I think it's a 6 episode season, if I'm not, maybe 8, but it's definitely not 4 episodes here. So the first 4, we got a episode 1, 39 minutes of a showtime, 45 total of runtime, if that makes
sense. Wow. Yes, it does. Credits.
Episode 2, 44 minutes, 49 total runtime. Episode 3, 48 minutes with a 53 total runtime. And episode 4, 45 minutes with a 48 total runtime. Okay. This is all kind of irrelevant to my question here, but are you excited for Loki season two? Because I'm just kind of like, maybe it's just everything I got going on in my life. I just haven't been like I haven't been anticipating this series as much as maybe the first season.
I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not like, starved for it right now. But I don't think I have suffered from like the Marvel fatigue that like we've started to see out in the ether, but also kind of in the rest of the DSG. I think that my kind of view is just like, there's other good stuff out there. Like I'm generally there's plenty of other stuff to entertain me right now. Mm-hmm. Ahsoka's almost done and it's been so fucking good. Like I don't want that to end at all. And then I'm going to be balls deep into spooky season. So it's like, we're going to watch Loki. We're going to review it on here. And I would assume Gen V will probably, as long as it's solid, we'll end up doing that on here as well.
Yeah.
And that's another thing where it's like, I love The Boys and I'm ready for Gen V, but I haven't been like, oh, when the fuck are we going to get this thing?
Right.
So,
yeah. And even more so with Gen V, where it's just a first of a spinoff show. I'm like, kind of like, all right, I'm going to wait a little bit. Then I'll binge a couple episodes. That's generally what I've done with The Boys anyway. I'm kind of late on it and then kind of watch it all in one shot. Yeah. But Loki season two, I'll watch it. I think I'm in a similar boat here. But I don't think I'm really excited until Deadpool 3. And even then, I'm excited, but I'm just waiting for that.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
So what do we have? We have Loki season 2. We have Echo. We have the Marvels until then. Maybe else.
Oh, is the Daredevil one between now and then? I don't think so. But like my thing is there's enough like comic book related, like inspired stories out there. And then things that are in that kind of realm of like stories that could be also told in comics, like Ahsoka is like Star Wars. We see that it's been in comics forever. So like I have no shortage of that. And also there's plenty of good comics out there to read too. So I'm generally entertained.
Boys. Speaking of the book, boys.
A superb choice.
Nick, yeah, before you go, I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off right there. I just want you to wave goodbye to Twitter. And for the Twitter followers, come on over to YouTube at @CMM_podcast. Check us out.
Okay. So so there's a few different titles coming out this week. So we got one of the ones that's kind of notable is Ranger Academy issue 1. This is like a Power Rangers story. Seems like it's a couple of new characters that I'm not familiar with. Seems like it's a little bit more for a younger audience, not like kids, like, you know, 8-year-olds, but like, I guess like a 12 to 14 ish range kind of thing. Like there you go. Gave it a read. Not really for me. Another first issue that's out this week is Gods, which is it's a Marvel joint that's out this week. That's been pretty highly anticipated. That's Hickman is writing that. I have not given it a look. I will read it in time for TLDR. It's like the one that's next on my list. I get those review copies a little bit later. We also got Poison Ivy issue 15 from DC Comics and Peacemaker Tries Hard issue 6. Both awesome series. One that the former I have talked about on the show previously. The latter, wait until it's done. It's going to be the 8th issue. That's the final one, if I'm not mistaken. Another first issue that's big this week, Transformers issue 1. This is from Skybound, who, of course, publishes through Image. This is Robert Kirkman's imprint, who obviously the writer and co-creator of The Walking Dead and Invincible. I forget who's writing Transformers, but this was like a big acquisition for Skybound. They got them and they got G.I. Joe. So I may actually check this out. I'm not a big Transformers guy, but Skybound does a really good job. And Transformers has been with a different company for a while. So I feel like this is going to be more appealing to a wider audience, where I think previously it was just trying to focus on the younger audience. But we'll see. From Image, we got King Spawn issue 26 this week. And then on TLDR, we're going to be doing What's New Joe's Coming Back from Parts Unknown.
Oh.
We should have something else planned for you guys. Not recorded yet, so don't want to say anything. But something else should be in the hopper for you guys this week on top of What's New.
And how was the character study of Red Hood last week?
Oh, it was great. We got into everything that we needed to. Kept it, covered a lot of ground. And honestly, I've wanted to do something like that for a long while with Red Hood, and there's other characters I'd like to do that with, but like that, I felt very like I did what I wanted to do with that episode. It was very
pleasant. All right. You felt accomplished.
Yes. Accomplished, fulfilled. Similar to what I feel every week after at the end of the night on Monday.
Oh, wow. Stop it. Wait, is that a compliment to me or to the new missus here? I don't know.
I would never talk about my wife that way.
Well, that's a compliment. What's wrong with that?
I wouldn't do that on air to her.
Yeah, but that's
not good behavior.
But that's like a acceptable way. Like, there's always this funny scene, and it's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where they talk about Dennis is trying to tell Mac and like have a playful, flirty conversation. Like some people say our drinks are better than an orgasm, because an orgasm, the term, is palatable. It's not too profane. It's not ugly. But what Mac ends up saying, it's like, it's better than busting a nut. You know, and it comes up with all of these like grosser slang euphemisms for an orgasm. And then it just ends up turning off everyone who he says it to.
That is a very
fair point. I think in this instance, what you said was the orgasm and not busting a nut.
Well, I'll leave it at that. There's no issues in that department, but you bring up, the Always Sunny. I think next year I'm going to try and like do the undertaking.
Why wait? Don't wait. Don't, you know, you're only hurting yourself by waiting longer.
That's fair. But at the same time, like I mentioned to you, and I'll talk about it more in Discharge Depot, but me and the missus are taking spooky season really seriously this year. Mm-hmm. And then, you know,
although I saw one movie on there, I don't know how serious you're taking it.
Well, some stuff that's not entirely all that scary, but it's adjacent to it. But.
It's funny because the wife also tried to get me to watch that movie, and I was like, no fucking way.
Well, there you go. They got similar taste to these. You can tell Julie for that. But I don't know where I was. Oh, no, but yeah, so we're doing that, and then Christmas rolls around, and obviously we watch a lot of Christmas movies.
Of course, Thanksgiving is the Harry Potter season, right?
There you go. Yeah, I mean, and even if I didn't do that, like, if I don't want to get, like, start season one and then get interrupted, and then we got Gen V going on right now and Loki, so and I know there's always going to be stuff, I feel comfortable saying, and how long actually are Always Sunny episodes? Is it 20 or is it 40
minutes? It's about 20 minutes, yeah.
Oh, that's huge. I didn't realize.
Saying, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You whip right through them.
Made Rebels. Like, I know we've already talked about how there's so much with Rebels to watch, but like, those are 20 minutes a piece. You can crush those episodes. That's really good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And then they just start rolling right into one another, you know?
Okay. Yep. I'm going to start getting all the jokes. I'm going to start making really dated references.
There we go. That's what I love to hear. Those aren't dated. That's a regular part of my rewatch. It's Always Sunny, 30 Rock, Parks and Rec, The Office, it all, just whatever I want to fall asleep through that night.
Save the best for last, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get over to our main segment here one more time with this cool sounder.
What's your favorite scary movie?
All right, we have 30 Days of Night, a spooky review of the 2007 feature here. A little peek behind the curtain. When I was trying to find sounders to piece all that little clip together, the wife was very freaked out because I'm just like playing on loud all of these creepy laughs and screams, and she's like, "What are you doing?"
Oh, jeez. Yeah, no, that would be rattling to hear. Another little peek behind the curtain. Wes, not a big horror guy, but this year we decided we might lean into it a little bit.
I'm putting my balls on the table here, Nick, and say, let's do it for content, you know?
Okay. I was very excited to hear that when we were trying to plan stuff out, because the missus has helped me get into spooky stuff a little bit more. I've actually, it turns out that I do have a pair. So I've been very excited.
Still searching.
Are you after watching this?
No, this wasn't scary. No.
No, but there's some like stuff.
It was suspenseful.
Yes, it's suspenseful. So what are we talking about today?
Yes, 30 Days of Night here. Hit us with the synopsis.
So this 2007 movie, after an Alaskan town is plunged into darkness for a month, it is attacked by a bloodthirsty gang of vampires. Very simple synopsis, very accurate.
Pretty simple, succinct, to the point here. This movie is directed by David Slade and written by Stephen Niles, Stuart Beatty, and Brian Nelson, starring Josh Hartnett, who's getting a little bit of a comeback story here with Oppenheimer. But he plays Eben Olsen, Melissa George playing Stella Olsen, Danny Huston as Marlowe, Ben Foster makes an appearance as the Stranger, Mark Boone Jr. as Bo Brower, Mark Rendell as Jake Olsen, Amber Sainsbury as Denise, Manu Bennett as Billy Kitka, Megan Franish as Iris. Joel Tolbeck as Doug Hertz and Elizabeth Hawthorne as Lucy Ecos.
And also Stephen Niles is the writer of the comic book, which came out in 2002. That was drawn by Ben Templesmith. We'll talk about that in some capacity a little bit later, but it's good to see him, you know,
he got a writer credit, you know, exactly. He didn't use any AI, AI rewrites.
Good for him. Maybe they could have used a little help, but anyways, box office and critic reception is hauled in 75.5 million worldwide, 39.5 million domestic. The opening weekend, it had a 15.9 million opening weekend. Again, this came out in 2007, so a little bit different. This was a $30 million budget. So from a box office standpoint, that means it was successful. Like, because that's what we've at least said in the past, whether or not we're right or wrong, 2.5, right?
Yeah, one and a half to two, I think is what it is, right? And when you're considering the the marketing behind it. But I'm not sure for Halloween movie or like horror movies, I'm not sure if the same marketing goes into it. I don't know.
Right. But one and a half is break even. So then this is absolutely a success.
Yeah, I think that's so. Yeah, I think that's what works.
And then received it's a 6.6 on IMDb, 51-56 split on Rotten Tomatoes, and then a 4.2 out of 5 on Google reviews, with 88% of Google users liking this movie. Wes, we're going to alter our scoring a little bit for this. Can you tell the people about logic behind it?
Yeah, I don't know. I just kind of like the idea of incorporating spooky. I just wanted to switch it up. So let's get some spooky ghosts on it here. On a scale of 1 to 10, how many spooky ghosts do you give this movie?
I'm going to give this 6 out of a possible 10 spooky ghosts. Really nice concept. I still feel that way after watching it and reading the comic. Specific part of the ending was not done well, and that absolutely hurt the score. But overall, the dialogue was probably the biggest issue that I had with this. In terms of the scariness, though, definitely had a healthy amount of that in here.
Yeah, we're in the same. We get the same score, but maybe we got there differently. You know, maybe we took a different path there. It's a decent spin on a vampire tale. I love the setting of Alaska. I agree with you. I thought Josh Hartnett and Danny Huston were solid, as was Ben Foster as a stranger too. We'll talk about him a little bit. I thought Melissa George, she might come up a little bit. I thought she was very captivating on screen. How's that for? I thought she captured my attention pretty well.
Really?
Oh, she's nice to look at. That's
okay. All right.
I was trying to find a colorful way to say that.
Yeah. No. Okay.
But instead, what I should have just said is her boobs were huge. You know.
Oh. Okay. I
don't see them that much. They're in. They're all covered up in jackets. Yeah. This is Alaska in the wintertime.
That makes sense. Okay. That's probably why I didn't take any notice of that. But I was I was confused when I saw this note, because like, I thought she was not good at all. But now
I just think she was very attractive. I wasn't really listening to the words that were coming out of her mouth at that point in time.
Gotcha. Well,
but it's a very cheesy ending to your point there. 6 out of 10. But you know, it's like a horror movie. That's also why, I mean, if you want the real reasons, aside from like the spooky ghost thing, I'm just not sure if, you know, if we were to give this a 70. I don't know. On the same scale, you know what I mean? Using the same scale that we usually do for movies, I feel like horror movies are supposed to be campy and kind of B-list movies, C-list movies, to like that. That's what everyone's coming into it as. So if it exceeds anything, it's a great B movie.
Yeah.
How many horror movies are just great movies on their own?
Yeah, there's definitely ones with major flaws in them that probably like that, and that's why it hurts their scores. I like this. I watched this and I was like, okay, at best, I could probably give this a 70 at best, but I'm like, I feel like I'm reaching. And then when we change the scale on our score, I'm like, no, I can't. I like maybe a 65 at that point when I saw we changed the scale. And the missus watched it with me. She liked it even less than me. And the big problem was the dialogue, and specifically with Melissa George. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. like,
well, you guys hate women, and I'm a known women supporter, a right, champion of women there as a father of a daughter.
Right. This is all completely 100% accurate. Yes.
Well, I would say it's definitely not inaccurate. Some of the things I said there.
Right. Yes. Oh, no. Okay, of course. Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Jesus. Yeah, of course. All right. So where do we want to start here?
Let's start with the setting. All right, yeah. We got 1 day left before no daylight returns for 30 days in Alaska here. Pretty bleak town. Do you like the setting of Alaska for a spooky movie?
I love it. I think it's perfect. I need more of this kind of stuff. If there is other stuff out there like this, like set in Alaska, mm-hmm. like it, listeners, let me know. I want to hear about it. I want to watch it. I know I knew this had existed, and I never watched it because, again, like I always liked horror related stuff, but I wasn't into horror because like I get scared shitless. I honestly do. My imagination.
Well, now you have someone to hold you close at night too.
Exactly. Yes. She's the one that's going to take care of something mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. you know, if there's a ghost, of course. Another one that's like spooky or like it's not scary, but it has like creepy vibes is the Wolverine the Long Night podcast that is set in Alaska. Okay. And also got turned into a comic book. I would love to see that turned into a movie. Probably will never happen. But
well, Logan's an Alberta Canadian resident anyway, so it's not too far of a trek for him. He's already on the Pacific West Coast of Canada.
Mm-hmm. And it's got like a cult vibe to it and everything. It's very okay. And for a story that's like more about these CIA type agents that are hunting him down, like trying to find Wolverine. It's more about them. I love how that was done. Love how it was written and everything. I know Goo will criticize some of the audio for it, but I don't have as like fine of an ear as he does for that shit. But yeah. I highly recommend.
He's an audio snob.
Exactly. So 100%. So, so yeah, I love this setting.
Yeah, I do too. If you're looking for a movie with that setting, Insomnia, it's a good suspense thriller. Al Pacino, Robin Williams. Robin Williams plays a serial killer. Al Pacino's a detective. Hmm. Pretty interesting movie. I think I might have saw that one in theaters with my dad. But either way, that and then True Detective Season 4, which I want to say has Jodie Foster in it. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure it's a all-female leading roles there for Season 4. But that's also going to be in Alaska.
Oh, okay. I was really looking forward to it, but now hearing that it's in Alaska, like that's awesome. And Insomnia's got to be like a pretty big deal. I feel like I've heard of it, but I've never.
Yeah, Al Pacino, Robin Williams, you know,
Hilary Swank. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty, oh, that's yeah. that's the yep. That was the actress there.
Okay. There we go. But yeah, that I so you have watched this.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a good years ago as a kid, but I remember thinking it was a pretty good movie.
Okay, yeah, I definitely got to give this one a look at some point. But yeah, so we're all in on Alaska as a spooky setting.
Give us more, and then is 28 days later, 28 weeks later, is that also set in Alaska
nope,
now?
That's in England.
Oh, yeah. Okay, because this would make sense with 30 days a night, 28 days yes. later. I don't know. Maybe
every numbered horror movie is set in Alaska.
It should be. Is there, there's probably a... A Jim Carrey movie, The Number 13 or Eternal Sunshine of the Spotlight Mind or something. That's got to take place in Alaska, right?
23 is not Eternal. No, I don't think either of them are. But you know what? That should have been in the Writers Guild MGA or whatever, MBA.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe it's not too late. Maybe we can send him a quick memo.
I think. Yeah. Why not? All right. What let's go. How about? Oh, spookiest scene.
Yes. I got. This one jumped out to me the most because I wasn't too scared as I was expecting here. There's some good jump scares and like seeing you, but I always kind of knew where things were going to happen. They showed a waste grinder, a recycling yep. grinder there in the beginning. I was like, oh, that's going to be an awesome death later in the movie. Yep. So I was waiting for that moment, but, it's early during the assault when the vampires first kind of raid the town, and you see I don't know if it's one or two of the vampires torturing an older husband and wife couple in their own home right before they're kind of like playing with their food. They're toying with them a little bit. And that was the spookiest, kind of scariest part, because you could see how they were kind of helpless with one another, but you could also see like the fear for one another.
Mm-hmm. You're not talking about the couple that they pulled, like that kept getting pulled under the houses, right?
No, but that also popped up in my mind as I was talking about that. So that also makes the list, but it's a very quick scene. And then they kind of separate the husband and wife. They're both on like opposite sides of like the living room or something. Mm. And then they kind of die off screen, but you kind of hear the screams from like, I don't know, the street, the driveway of the house, you know?
Gotcha. Yeah, because I thought it was the other couple when you jot it down, because it's like, I'm blanking on that one.
It was quick, but I remember thinking the first time I saw it, I'm like, oh man, that I don't like that.
There's some freaky shit in this movie. Like, there's no question about it. And the vampires are pretty like rough looking in a good way. But you know what? For me, I thought the stranger, played by Ben Foster, who... Mm-hmm. Did a quick search because he's like a guy, like I'm watching, like I recognize him from somewhere. He's Angel in
X-3. The Last Stand. Yeah,
The Last Stand, exactly.
He's in a bunch of stuff too. He's in Hell or High Water. He's in what's the other movie with Justin Timberlake and Anton Yelich.
Nope, no idea.
Oh, it's based on a true story. Alpha Dog. They're an Alpha Dog.
Oh, yeah. Okay. See, but I don't. I feel like there's something else I've seen of him, but I just don't know.
He's been in a bunch of stuff. He's a good. He's a pretty good actor.
Very unsettling individual in this movie, and that's. I will talk shortly about like doing the comic book justice, but there is a slight difference with him that occurred too. But in the end, like they're going to make some changes, and it's fine. I also thought one thing that scares the fuck out of me. Is in any good horror movie is when you see characters kind of just like move quick, like in the background. And this is like, I've seen a lot more of it now. I haven't watched a bunch of shit, but like 07, I don't know how much they were doing it at that time. And I still felt like they did a good job with it in this movie, having seen it done elsewhere before, where like they're just like jumping from rooftop to rooftop.
Rooftop to roof, and even before, it's like I think it was one of the first kills that they have, but they're kind of running circles, like doing like a box around a guy. You kind of see him, and he's like, "Where is he?" And it's like it was the fat guy who was holding the light, and they're like checking on something outside.
Yeah,
he's like, "What's going on?" And then he finally goes, but like specifically to what you were saying, the rooftops when they're like coming over the peak of a rooftop, and you kind of see him out of focus, and then. It slowly shifts the focus to the background, and you're like, "Oh shit, that one's gonna get him."
Yep, 100%. They do it. It's done so quietly and so smoothly. So yeah, that to me, that those little moments really like stick with you, and that's the kind of shit that like when I'm walking around my house with the lights on, where I'm like, I double take just to make sure like nothing fucking happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a solo question, Nick, because you are a comic book reader. Mm. Does this do the comic book justice?
Yeah, I think by and large, and I know we're both giving this movie a 6 out of 10, but part of the problem is
that's good for a horror movie. I think that's why we switched the rankings up, right?
But I think that a horror comic, I think those are usually done better. I think like you take some of the act like. Horror movies don't always bring in the best actors. Like that's just like, I just feel like that's always kind of the case, because like the best actors don't get killed on screen. They're not down for that kind of stuff. So that element kind of gets taken out of it. I would probably give the comic like a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
And I don't love the art, and that's definitely a detractor for me. And that's so maybe the writing is actually an 8 out of 10. And that's with like third person narrative, which I'm a narration, which I'm not always a big fan of. I feel like it can be really forced, but that could absolutely be better. But that ending, that's by and large like how it ends, like where he does like the throat rip kind of thing, but not Swayze style for those who haven't seen it. But yeah, like a big thing, the stranger doesn't get in the comic does not get killed by the vampires. He gets killed by Eben and his partner. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that kill him in the prison.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that was the difference.
I like that. I like that change though for the movie.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And then, I mean, especially when like Niles, the writer of this series, is the one of the writers for like one of the screenplay writers. Okay, like if he's making those changes, then I definitely like.
Yeah, that's true.
Gets my blessing, Stella.
Good for him that he gets a little double dip on the payday mm-hmm. there. He writes the comic, and then he's like, you know what? Let's write the script, and we'll just change a couple things here and there. Yeah,
Stella in. The comic is with Eben still. They're not like separated or anything. And then probably the biggest change in the movie, the head vampire who's played by a guy, I forget that actor's name, but he's also in.
He's pretty recognizable.
Yeah, the X-Men movies too.
Oh, yeah.
But he speaks English in the comics. He does not speak English in the movie.
Well, yeah. How many comics do they speak a different language in?
Well, they could do something where it's like they put like brackets and they'll like the first time he speaks, it'll be like star translated from Russian. So it'll be English to us the whole time, but we know the Josh Hartnett's not hearing it in English. We are just the benefits of it. So they flat out made that change here.
Now this I might be veering off too much here. Maybe this is my editorial mind here coming. What's the purpose of that? What do they gain by saying this was a Russian translation?
Because in that instance, you're still helping the readers be knowledgeable of what's being said, but then the characters within the story have no clue what's going on, which is what happened for us in the movie. We're still reading what the guy's saying. We know what he's saying.
Oh, I see. Okay. I get you. Yeah. Gotcha. Yes. All right.
Yeah. So that's, again, like it's, I mean, it's an important change in terms of the back and forth between the characters in the movie. So there's that dynamic, but in the end, like I'm fine with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I gotcha. All right.
Did it justice.
Yes. My judgment has been rescinded there. We touched on this a little bit there in your last answer with the ending, but what was the cheesiest scene and why was it Hartnett becoming a vampire to beat the vampires?
Yeah. I mean, like that, you know, that's
I'm going to inject myself with a dead man's blood who is partly becoming half vampire, but he still had a heart of gold. So I'm going to do that and save the woman I love.
Yeah. So it actually,
which we can get into the whole love story thing in a little bit later too, but I got some questions about that.
I'm pretty sure that guy in the book, in the comic goes off for a bit. If I'm not mistaken, he like goes off for it. Yeah. The guy who he takes the blood from, he did not have a heart of gold. He did not like stop himself. Like he turns and then kind of goes off and takes like a person or two out before he gets killed. And then they extract blood from him. So that's a pretty significant difference.
That is a wild decision to make on a whim. I mean, you have what, 30 seconds, less than a minute, whatever it is, to make that decision that you're going to inject a dead vampire, half vampire's blood into you.
Yeah. And it's like a tough one too, because like in this, actually, this is another significant change. And I don't mean to keep doing this, but in the comic,
the books were much better.
This is where the movie might be better. In the comic, Stella's with Hartnett. Eben. They don't have these issues. So she's with him in that moment when he injects himself. He does it because he has to get them out of the town and they're going to tear the whole town down still. But he does it to stop them. In this instance, he's trying to save Stella. So right. It kind of makes more sense.
Okay. All right. I get you there.
I still don't love it. I still don't love it. But like that, it makes more sense in that instance.
It's not great. Not great.
Either way, the way he kills the vampire, the head vampire, he just turns into a vampire. And then out of nowhere, there's no like precedent set of like younger vampires. Lauren points out, like if they said younger vampires like of this type are stronger than older vampires, then okay, it makes sense, but they don't talk about that.
No. You know why that he's stronger? It's not because he's a younger vampire. It's because he's still human.
Okay.
And he's driven by love. That's the subtext.
Well,
these vampires have no love. They have no, they're loveless.
I mean, I guess that's fair, but still.
Are there any unanswerable questions? Feels like there are.
You have a bunch. I think you hit on all the notes. I didn't come up with any because you.
Well, what's the deal with Stella and Eben here? What is their deal? Because I didn't even realize it until I just read through the cast and crew here. Stella is actually married to. They're still married.
Yeah. Well, I got that they were separated.
I just thought they were dating. I didn't know they were actually like went that far through marriage.
Oh. Okay. I mean, I got, okay. You know what? In fairness, I didn't get that they were married. I got that they were a serious thing. So, I mean, at least that.
Yeah. Well, they're the two hottest people in a town of 30 people in Podunk, Alaska. Like, of course they're going to be gravitated towards one another. Like, this is day one stuff.
Yeah. I guess that's fair. Although his partner is, was it Manu Bennett? He's a good looking dude. He's been in other shit too.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's true. But we never get any resolution for it. They never have that conversation. By all accounts, Evan seems like a real stand up guy. Like, why wouldn't this hot fire marshal lady just like not want to settle down with the police sheriff? Like, that seems like a perfect match.
They were settled down. I don't know. It's very strange. It seems like it's done as it's a plot device in the end.
Right. Yeah. But it doesn't pay off. They just end up, I don't know. I wanted a little bit more there.
No, that's fair. I don't like it.
The stranger was the familiar of the vampires, right? Again, subtext there. That wasn't really said out loud, but I was trying to put some puzzle pieces together.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically what he is. That's what it seems like. Yeah.
So, but he doesn't even get turned. He just gets killed.
Yeah. Tough ending for that guy. He was, he was a very good character.
I would have liked more of him. I would like maybe even a prequel of him.
Oh,
maybe ditch the love story and the human aspect of it and give us 20 more minutes of the stranger meeting these vampires and telling them in a bar, hey, you got to go to Alaska.
Yeah. I mean, that could be that. I'm interested in more of that character for sure.
Yes, absolutely. Also, did the chick who nearly participated in a devil's threesome deserve to live?
She's
the brown haired girl in the end. She's the brunette. And she's kind of got like that Russian hat with the flaps.
Oh, that girl. That's right. Okay, yeah, she lived, and then it was his brother, and then some older woman, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean.
No, the two dudes die, and then she just was able to get away from the very fast vampires.
It was surprising, yeah.
I'm not sure if we should reward that type of chicanery.
Yeah, you know.
I don't know. They call it a devil's threesome for a reason. could you live in Alaska?
No, I don't think I could. I do like the cold a little bit here and there. Like I like the fall. The winter, I like snow for Christmas, and that's it. Mm-hmm. That's about it. So, no.
I would like to say that I'm man enough to handle the Great Frontier, but I'm not. They say it's minus 10 at a certain point. Like, that's crazy. But I do like the idea of living off the grid and kind of being like a Bo Brower type of guy. Yeah. Who's just like, we're all trying to be free here, man. This is the last piece of freedom, like really true freedom in the United States that you could get, you know, where you just kind of, you don't really have to do anything. You're kind of off the grid. You're kind of away in your own little world. That idea of it, I kind of like. But, you know, as they say, anyone who goes to Alaska, they're trying to escape something.
Yeah. That's what it is there. You're running from something. Yeah. So same thing. No, I couldn't. Absolutely could not do that. No. And I the idea of homesteading and stuff like that is interesting, but like that alone, there's shit you got to figure out. Then you try and do it in like negative 10 degree weather on like a
give me like era. Colorado or something that has like more seasons, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I could do that. Northern Arizona.
Northern Arizona.
Yeah, Northern Arizona is snow.
Actually.
Yes. Yeah. Oh. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's
more seasonal. Where do you think the top of Arizona and the bottom of Colorado is?
You know, I honestly didn't even realize they border each other. I don't know. Like,
you're not aware of the four corner states. You don't know what the four corner states are.
Those are the four corner states.
Well, there's two of them. Where are the other two?
Wyoming and Utah.
But it's Utah, New Mexico.
New Mexico. We actually tried to go there a couple years ago, but like you can't get a flight to the Four Corners, like near it at all.
Really?
You
wanted to go to the Four Corners?
Yeah. Lauren and I were going on our first vacation. We ended up going to San Diego, which obviously can do a lot worse than that. But yeah, we wanted to do it. I think my parents had talked about, I thought they went, but then they ended up not going because it's like, it's very difficult to get to. Like, there's the closest airport was like a 4-hour drive away.
That's by design, because it's probably got some like esoteric, like weird, wooey dooey type of vibes to it. You know, you probably stand in the center and you probably just transcend to another dimension.
There you go. That's probably what it is. It's probably for the best that we didn't do it.
Well, or you could be missing out greatly.
This is also true. You'll never know until we go.
I guess so.
Or you can go first and then you tell me.
I will. I'll let you know. We'll book it. What is age the best in this movie?
I mean, just the concept is awesome. It really is. I think that this, like, I would be very much open to like a 30 days later reboot and then them totally trying some different shit. And even then, like,
30 days later, and that's like, and that somehow weaves into 28 days later.
But I say 30 days all later?
Well, no, but 30 days my of bad. Night, but 30 days later after the night. I think that would be the sequel.
Yeah, I fucked up. My point is,
I picked up what you were putting down. Maybe subtly, maybe subconsciously, you meant to say that, but
maybe. You know. But either way, if you remade this, give it some better dialogue, change up the ending, and like honestly, should not be a like. Would you have felt better if that was not a happy ending to that movie?
Yeah. I mean, I would feel. I'm not sure if I would feel satisfied or it just wouldn't feel as corny.
That would have at least bumped it up to a 70 for me. Like a 7 out of 10 on our scale.
True love prevails, you know? That's good to know. It's good to know for the kids these days. I thought Marlo, the lead vampire was great. I don't know why or when vampires got this debonair, like, suave, sophisticated, kind of sexy type of look to them. But, like, Marlo's not sexy, but they're all well-dressed. Like, all the vampires are well-dressed. He's got, like, a high-collared button-down with, like, a tailored velvet jacket. You know, like, they're obviously not cold because they're lifeless, right?
Right.
But I thought Marlo, the concept was very cool. I liked the language choice, whatever they were speaking in there. I thought that was very cool.
Yes.
And the only thing that looks crude or crass about them is their mouth, is their teeth.
Yes.
Everything else looks normal, which I thought was kind of cool too.
And that's something in the comic that I do really appreciate, where like the art there is kind of like, it's kind of rough. I do think that like in a way that fits. It's just that it felt like it could have been a little more refined, but yeah, Danny Huston is Marlo. And yeah, he is Stryker. I forget like what age for sure. No, he's Stryker in the X-Men Wolverine Origins. That's what it was.
Yeah, I knew I recognized him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we touch on the setting, and then obviously the Stranger. I thought he had a really great performance, and Ben Foster there.
Yeah.
Those are some of the things that aged the best, but what are some of the things that aged the worst?
I mean, the dialogue, again, it just felt very clunky. I'm not going in citing specific stuff, but it felt like, and this is where I was.
I know what you mean. I can't picture anything, but there were points that definitely jumped out. Where like, ooh, this feels
Melissa
like
George was rough.
Someone's just holding up a cue card and they're reading it, sort of thing.
Yeah, and I think she just didn't do a good job flat out, but also like the writing with her character sometimes was worse more so than anybody else. I think the only ones when you talk about dialogue that didn't have issues, it's weird to say it, but like Marlo, like, yeah, we're still seeing the writing at least, but it's like he's not speaking, not the language we understand. Mm-hmm. And then the Stranger was perfect, obviously.
Yes, yeah. Hartnett becoming the vampire, we already touched on that, but Evan's brother. What a little bitch. I did not care for Evan's brother at all. He could just go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know something about annoying a little brother's named Jake.
This is also true. Yes, but he probably have better on-camera presence.
He would. Judging from, again, that best man speech at your wedding, much more charisma, much more enthusiasm than Eben's brother. Eben is also a weird name. I think Eben, the name, might have aged the worst because I didn't enjoy that.
I forgot that, like, because I didn't. I went and just watched the movie, and then and after I watched it, I went and looked back at the comic again. But I forgot, like, and then we get towards the end, and then someone like really clearly says Evan. Like, I was just hearing Evan the whole time, and then Lauren like turns to me and goes, "Wait, is his name Evan?" And I was like, "Yeah."
Do you know? Have you ever met an Evan in your life?
Nope.
No, I knew one.
Oh,
and they're weird. They're weird. The Evans.
Well, there you go. That was proof. That's two for two.
Yeah. I mean, why else is Hartnett up in Alaska? Why is this like good looking guy up in Alaska? This Same thing with that true. Chick. What are they hiding from, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep, this is very true. That's a really good point.
Anyone not named The Stranger for best performance by a side character?
You wrote down Bo Brower, who was played by Mark Boone Jr., who is also known as Bobby from Sons of Anarchy. Mm-hmm. Love that guy. I thought he was great in this one.
He was great, and then he's got the great. I don't know what this piece of machinery is, but he has. It's like a giant saw on a, I don't know, backhoe. You know what? I don't know what it's called. Someone who's smarter than me or more manlier than I am can let us know in the comments here. But he has a great going out scene. Like that's like his final scene right there. You know, and he's chopping people up left and right. I like that. That's good. And again, I like his American frontier free spirit in the beginning. Hey, I'm just leaking a little oil out into the earth, man. You don't have to do anything.
Right.
You don't have to give me this ticket. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 100%. Like who's going to like, you know, I get that you can't just run completely wild. Like you got to respect other people around you out there. But at the same time, like one would think you can get away with a lot more out there.
Just give me a warning. I'll clean it up. You know, like what are we doing?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Who lost the movie, Nick? Who lost the movie?
I would say Melissa George probably lost this movie because it was, you know, she wasn't great.
I disagree. I think she was a stunning angel, and she needs more work, more camera time.
Okay. I think your choice.
Can we bring back silent movies for her?
Oh, there you go. I don't even know. I feel like Estella is her name in this. I don't know what else she's in. I don't recognize her at all.
I think she's the younger sister of Regina George.
She plays Angel Parrish in the Australian soap opera Home and Away. There we go.
Good for her.
This is a soap. That makes sense now.
I like it.
Your pick's a good one, though, that you have for this.
Yeah, this other sheriff who killed his family and then lost his arm in the waist grinder only to turn into a vampire. I mean, that's...
Yep.
That's pretty tough, right?
So Billy. Billy is the character's name, and it's Manu Bennett. I mentioned earlier he played Deathstroke in the Green Arrow show.
Oh, good for him. Okay, yep. So he landed on his feet, not his arm, but his feet.
And this is the origin story of Slade Wilson.
Yeah, there we go. Right. Hartnett is a big loser in this because he gives up his life for a woman who, well, I guess has his last name, but they're not really together.
Yeah, I'm trying to. What the
he's simping big time.
Yeah,
that's what the kids would say.
I don't know what else is he in. He's in Halloween H2O. So he's in this and Halloween H2O.
Yeah, he's also in some high school scary movie too. I forget what it's called, but it's like
40 Days and 40 Nights.
No, that's a comedy about abstaining from sex. Nick,
sounds like a horror story to me. Black Hawk Down.
No, Black Hawk Down, no, or Black Hawk Down, neither one of those.
I know that Black Hawk Down is not a horror. I just want to put that out there. There's also Pearl Harbor.
No, Pearl Harbor. Yeah, no, you just keep scrolling.
The Black Dahlia?
No.
That looks pretty freaky, though. Holy shit. A neo-noir crime thriller? Oh, geez, the poster for that is... let's see. Come with the Rain?
We're done with this bit. Who won the movie?
I think... Alaska. That's about it. Although the people who made this movie, they ended up making a good profit on this movie.
I would say anyone who doesn't live in Alaska, because the scary part is that even the people who live within Alaska wouldn't have ever found out about this. They would just think there was some horrible brush fire or oil leak or whatever happened that caused the whole town to burn down. They would never hear about it. And this would just be a, you know, quick 30-second spot on NBC News or something. You know, like this is how we would hear about it. 4 months later, there might be an in-depth piece in like the New York Times or something. Like you wouldn't get much about this.
I hate to say it, but you're probably right. And it's like still, it's like 100-something people. Like that should be
a whole town. Yeah, a whole town goes away. You know, like what was the train derailment in Ohio, East Palestine, Ohio? Like we heard about that. Like I guess we would then. I don't know.
Maybe, but this is like you say it's a whole town. This is a small ass town though, Wes. This is like it's like 100 what was it? There's like 300 people, and then like half the town leaves or something like that.
That's true. That's a good point.
It's something to that degree. Yeah, it's very strange, very small.
That was another unanswerable question. It looked like couples were leaving each other for the month. Like the husband would leave and the wife would leave or whatever. And like in the beginning there, and I was like, what? Why would you do that?
I'll tell you all what.
Right, that's... enjoy depression. I'm going to go down to South Beach.
I think that's a borderline unanswerable question. Why would you live here unless you were trying to run from something?
Yeah, yeah. It like, just seems odd to me.
I get Alaska, but this is like the most northern part. And you have to, like, I think it's be maybe once in a lifetime to experience 30 days of night like that. Like, that might be interesting once.
Sure.
But even then, I'm like, I don't know about that. But this is where you live year round?
Could you do 30? What do you think would be easier to do? 30 Ooh. Days a night or 30 days of day?
30 days a day. 100%.
Absolutely. You think so?
No question about it. Yeah.
Because you can close out the light, right? Exactly. You can get heavy shades, things like that. Okay. But I still think it would screw with your circadian rhythm. Like,
well, we don't experience 30. Yeah. No, it would definitely mess with you either way. But like, we don't experience obviously 30 days of night, but when it gets pretty cloudy, it can get dark for a long ass time.
Yeah, for sure. But you know, like, I think I'm way more productive when it's light out. I do more things. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I have more time to do things. And when it gets dark at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm like, okay, the day's done.
Yes, 100%. So that's kind of what I feel like I was trying to say we do experience it, and it's not ideal when that happens.
Yeah.
But that, like a long ass day. Yeah, that's fine.
Never ends. Like, I feel like I could never just like sit down on the couch. I have a tough time like being a lazy slug in the summertime.
Do you have blackout curtains in your house?
No, I like sunlight.
Okay, but when you go to sleep, like, does sunlight wake you up in the morning? I'm dead serious.
I'm up before the sun gets up.
Okay. All right.
Not rarely. Not usually. No.
No, but like, so, like it didn't used to be much of a thing for me. Now it kind of is. But like, we have. I never had blackout curtains. I now do, and if I was experiencing 30 days of light, I just use blackout curtains and I'd be fine at night.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It's perfect.
That does it here. So once again, how many spooky ghosts on our spooky ghost scale? What do you give 30 days a night?
I would give it 6 spooky ghosts.
I'm right there. That's a CMM aggregate score for spooky ghost of 6.
Okay.
This is available. I should have said this from the top. I watched this on Amazon, paid $3.99 for it. But if you wanted to, you could go to Tubi and watch that for free. And I didn't have the account. I didn't have everything set up. So I just thought it would be easier to pay for the money there for Amazon to rent it. But I'm pretty sure, maybe you could correct me on this, Tubi is like the place to go to for Halloween movies.
Tubi is the place for horror stuff, absolutely. And Lauren and I did watch it there. And the commercials can be quite a bit annoying.
Oh, there are commercials on it too?
Okay. Yeah, it's free though, so like I'm fine with it, you know. But I will say that if you go there, and let's say you watch 30 Days a Night, and it's interesting, and like, I want to watch something else scary, there's some Amityville horror specials on there, at least one that I know of, and it features our former resident guy in the chair, Tim Weisberg. So make sure you give that a look if you're over there. I gotta watch that again.
And that's his expert. You know, we talk about the Bridgewater Triangle and the Mothman and different things with him, right? But the Amityville Horror, that's his bread and butter.
That's his absolute favorite. I think his bread and butter is Bridgewater Triangle, but his absolute favorite is Amityville Horror, 100%, no question.
Oh, okay, well, you didn't have to correct me there, but...
No, but I'm not. I'm playing the asshole today, apparently, so...
All right. What's your favorite scary movie?
It's a little long, admittedly.
I love it.
But wait! Nope. There's more!
There is more. One more sounder, that is.
Choo-choo, bitches.
So, Nick, now that you are happily married, you are now attending other people's weddings.
Dude, by the way, Ozzy Osbourne, appropriate for the season as well. And that sounder's not too long. That's perfect.
It's just, get used to it because it's going to be playing all through the month of October. I'm not making another one. So.
It's some of your best work. So it's,
Some have said.
But yes, we are. We just had another wedding. One of my childhood closest friends. She just got married this past weekend. And that's one of four over the next 5 weeks.
October weddings are any in Salem?
No, that would be fun. No, the next one though, I would tell you, is in Buffalo. So we're driving up there upcoming weekend. Yes. So and then three out of the four though are in Rhode Island. Two of which are in Newport.
So okay, yeah, Newport. I mean, that's just a wedding factory. They turn out weddings for that place. You know,
100%. Yep. Yep. So going to be busy with that. But in the meantime, in the in-between moments, Mrs. and I are taking spooky season really seriously this year. I think because last year we didn't do as much because that was right around when we were like, okay, we need to start like looking into venues and all this different stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're a year out at this point.
Yep. We booked it in November of the year before the wedding. So we got a huge list right now where we've basically broken it down to classics, like modern scary stuff. And then what's the other one called? Like spooky kind of like childhood nostalgia. So like your Hocus Pocus, Halloween Town, and then maybe, I don't know, Practical Magic.
I was going to say, where does Practical Magic fall on that list? Because I'm not sure if that falls. you enjoy it? Did you like the movie?
Oh, it was fun. I had a good time. I mean, like, it doesn't scare me. It's like, I enjoyed it. I got like Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman.
Kidman, right? I think, as a matter of fact, I think that movie was on this weekend.
Oh,
like I think she might have put it on, or it was just happened to be on the TV station that was left over from whatever we were watching before, and it was just we caught some portion of it, and it was like Nicole Kidman had to get saved by Sandra Bullock from her deadbeat boyfriend who was in the back seat. But they end up like getting into like a car accident or something. Like something happens in the back seat of the car.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, it's not perfect, but like she warned me, like it's rated like this on IMDb or Rotten Tomatoes. Like not well. I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, yeah, okay. It's probably not that bad, but it's not great. Like I get it. Like I had fun with it though. It's just a fun time. That's about it. But yeah, so that, and then we watched the original Halloween as well, which talk about things that like, mess with you a little bit. That freaking mask, my God. But yeah, we still got a lot else. We're rewatching Midnight Mass, which is an outstanding horror series on Netflix. Watched it. That came out a couple years ago. And then we got quite a few other things to get through over the spooky season.
What always got me about Halloween was the daytime appearance of Michael Myers. Because everything, when I was a kid and when I first watched Halloween, everything or scary movies in general, everything appeared to happen at nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed to be the common denominator. But when I saw him like hanging out in the, what is it, like the laundry line, you know, just kind of hiding behind the sheets in the middle of the day, just like out there, I was like, oh man, that really stuck with me, because then there really is no, you know, no hiding.
No, there's that reminds me of another like horror type thing, but that's, oh, It Follows, I think is what it's called. I think it's what it is, but that, like, there's a lot of stuff, like
smell.
That, like, when you start mixing in like legitimate scary shit in the daytime, yeah, that'll sit with you. Like that it doesn't scare me during the day, but it'll hit me harder at night when I'm like rallied, because like you're not fucking safe at all. So like now it's nighttime, so it's a million times worse.
I was slightly cucked on Facebook Marketplace this weekend here.
Oh no.
Yeah, so I got what I needed. So I messaged this guy in Hanover. I needed some pine 1-inch boards. I'm making raised garden beds in my backyard. So I needed those. Good price, about 30-40% cheaper than what you get at your Lowe's or your Home Depot. Great. So I give them, come out Friday morning, mid-morning or so, drive all the way out to Hanover. And the guy is waiting at the top of his steps for me. And I come out and I have a Nissan Rogue with roof racks. Didn't use the roof racks though, fit everything in the car. But he looks at me, and the first thing he says to me when I get out of the car, he goes, "You're one brave guy," which could mean a bunch of different things, you know, because I never met this guy. It's just an old 70-year-old guy with a flannel, classic kind of blue-collar look to him, you know?
Okay.
And he's like, "You're pretty brave." And I go, what makes you say that? He goes, you're going to carry all that stuff on the roof of your car? And I go, no, I brought a chainsaw and a handsaw with me. I'm going to chop all this down if I could do that, if you don't mind, and fit it all in my car. He goes, oh, great, no problem. But before he comes down on the stairs, he goes, what are you using them for? And he's looking down on me. So he's lording over me. He's at the top of his steps. I'm at the bottom. And he's looking down, and he's got his hands on his hips. And I go, I'm making some raised garden beds for my wife. And he kind of gives me like, huh, all right, hop in. We'll go back there. And he was like, kind of mocked me. I'm like, brother, what do you care what I'm making or what I'm not making? You know, like, here's 120 bucks for the wood. Shut up.
Yeah, that's nice of you, by the way. But like, what is, yeah, who cares?
Yeah, yeah. So I but it was kind of like a weird, because he was like, yeah, from a different era. Yeah. Real man's man. He has like 4 acres in Hanover that's all right in the woods where he chops down trees and sells timber. You know, like, well, he's like a different type of breed, you know?
Sure. I don't know. I just feel like a man's man makes stuff for his woman, you know? But
maybe, well, yeah. I mean, I didn't know what his deal was, but he kind of gave me, he wasn't impressed when I first got out.
Interesting.
Well, yeah. So that's always disappointing. You know, I feel like I let down my grandpa in a way.
Oh,
but I did make the garden beds. That's looking great. Chop more wood. So nice. Things are coming together in the backyard, you know, just in time to not use it all winter.
Of course. Yes. Fire pit's nice. Well, could you use the fire pit in the winter?
No, we'll get a fire going this weekend or sometime in the fall, you know, nice. just to say just to christen it.
Nice. There you go. Yeah. There you go. How appropriate. But yeah, that sounds like a productive.
It was. I had to do it in the rain. I had to finish the beds in the rain. So yes. it was nice just working. But I didn't catch a cold, so that's good.
I'll tell you what, man. I think I'm fully through it now. But like coming back the first week, I definitely was getting hammered by like the season. Like, it's obviously a seasonal change and stuff like that. And
you're coming back from the airport and travel and all the stinky Greeks over there, you know?
I was going to say the tropical weather. I don't know. I don't know. I never heard that to be a thing, but it's tropical weather.
Well, they're hairy. And I feel like body odor and hair don't mix very well.
Well, I am Portuguese too, so it's the same difference to me, but it's
maybe you stink.
Perfect. Yeah, well, I probably do, but I'm in the tropical weather, and then I come back to New Hampshire, which obviously trees and all, like, definitely not great for my sinuses. And then it's like the time where the leaves are changing and everything. So I'm just, it's been a struggle. I feel like I'm through it now, probably jinxing myself, but it's just, yeah.
Tough. Hey, you come to CMM for wellness talk, right? Sickness and health talk.
That and wood chopping.
So. And some chopping some wood too. Yeah. Although, like I said, easy. You know, you don't have to impress a 70-year-old man to be able to chop wood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But that does it for this week.
Yes, but next week is your birthday episode. Very, very exciting stuff.
Ooh,
so did we come up with a topic that we're doing, or are we doing
We're doing the idea that I've had penciled in for a while. We still need to pick the sides. Can we tell the people what it is?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So we obviously are leaning into the spooky stuff for this season, but we're going to take a little sidestep because it is my birthday. And this idea that I came up with a while back, I've been wanting to do it, and it's perfect for my birthday. We're going to resolve one of the debates that's been going on since the early 90s, still has not been resolved, but we're going to handle it. Green Ranger or White Ranger, which is the better one? Which is the better Tommy Oliver? We will talk about that when, Wes?
At our new bad time, but always at the same bad place.